Now today is a day of life, isn't it? The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And you ask me how I know he lives. I didn't see him on the day that he died, nor was I there when he got up, but I know he lives within my heart. I know he lives within my heart. And it's not empty in this place today, is it? No, it's not. It's not empty. The presence of the Lord is in this place today. And we are so glad that you're here to join us in this time of worship. Now today we celebrate victory in Jesus. We have walked through death. We have stood once again at the cross as Jesus died on Good Friday, but now we stand somewhere else. We stand at a tomb, and what we find is not death, as we expect. In fact, what we find defeats death, tramples death, crushes it, and instead of fear and hopelessness and loss, we find life. We find hope and faith and love and rejoicing. We find Jesus, who was dead but now is alive. We find victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. As we look to our passage today, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. In this passage, we recount once again as we walk with the two Marys to the tomb to what they encountered. Let us hear the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage, and each one of the four Gospels recount this in their different way, in how they experienced it and how God has revealed it to us through their words. But we're looking at Matthew's account. And in this passage, God teaches us some very important life lessons of faith. Just the fact that when the Marys went and saw Jesus and met with them, they ended up worshiping him, as we continue to do this day over 2,000 years later. We worship a living Savior who is in this world today. But in this passage, God shows us who he is, what he has done, and what we must do as followers of Christ in light of his truth. And in verse 1, as we begin in this passage, if you look with me there, we learn that it was after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at that tomb, the tomb. And here we learn just how important Jesus was to both Marys. In this opening scene, we see how much Jesus meant to them. They went, you see, to Jesus at the very first opportunity. So just think with me about the word first, because it's like priority. This is important to them, so important that at the start of the week, this is what they did as soon as they could. After the Sabbath, after observing the Sabbath, they go to Jesus. And if you've ever seen people stand in line for the next iPhone or a big event, you see what's a priority for people, what they value, what matters to them. And here we see in the Marys that Jesus mattered to them both so greatly, so deeply. In verse 5, actually later on, if you remember what the angel said, he tells us what they are doing. He says, "I know you have come looking for Jesus." So out of their love and devotion for Jesus, they went first thing looking to Jesus. And I want us to pause and here consider Consider the act of looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Is that why you came here this morning? We are each called to look to Jesus, for he is the reason for Easter, as he is the reason for Christmas, and he is the reason why we live. He died to save us from sin and to restore our relationship with the Father. For you see, we are born into this world separated by God because of sin. Yet God had a plan to redeem us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Acts 4 verse 12 says, Salvation which we all need is found in no one else, for there is no other name by which man must be saved. Unfortunately, many people are looking in all the wrong places. For purpose, for peace. They're looking in all the wrong places for hope and satisfaction and even love. Yes, this world has much to offer. But the problem is that it will never truly satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. No amount of wealth, no amount of material possessions, status, popularity, or power can ever fill that void in your spiritual life. Only Jesus can. Without Jesus in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you will always be walking in darkness. That is why we call him the light of the world. It is this relationship that matters most while you are here on earth. And our prayer this morning is that you know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you don't, that you would seriously consider what you will do about Jesus. A personal relationship with God and the promise of eternal life with him are a precious gift. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Ephesians says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In other words, in order to have peace with God, you don't have to do anything because Christ has already done it. He lived a perfect life and he paid the price for your sins and mine. And so we learn in Scripture that you cannot earn your way to God on your own. All you need to do is believe and receive this free gift of salvation. Listen to John 1 verse 12. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this morning, are you part of the family of God? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord today? And if you know Jesus as your Lord, keep looking to him and run with endurance and joy the race marked out for you. For both Marys, the morning became this opportunity to look to Jesus. And it became and was and it started very quietly. Yet as our text goes, it became quite noisy in a way that is both hard to explain and pretty terrifying. For in verses 2 to 5, we learn how important it is in this next lesson and living by faith, not to be led by fear. Listen to what happens. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." So when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrived at the tomb, what a sight to behold. They saw an angel dressed whiter than snow sitting on the stone that had been rolled away from the tomb. They saw guards just lying on the ground as if they were dead. And the stone rolled away, the tomb empty. And so there could be no doubt the two Marys were pretty shaken up. Can you imagine that? What they were going through in that moment. Picture with me what they're going through. Terrified. They don't understand what's going on. And they are afraid. And I'm sure their thoughts were out of control. Who took Jesus? Are we in danger? What if we're going to be arrested? The angel turned to the woman, both of them, and said to them, "Don't be afraid." And twice in these four verses is the word afraid mentioned, and it is mentioned again two more times in verse 8 and verse 10. You see, fear is one of the enemy's most popular weapons that he uses against us, isn't it? Worry, fear, anxiety, can overwhelm us with a thick shadow of darkness controlling our every move and decision. Yet reality tells us that so much of what we spend our time worrying about never happens. So, but living under the weight of the what ifs is still a very hard and difficult place to live. But in God's word and in God's presence, we find power over our fears. They are words of life because they are God's words for you and for me in this life. And according to Luke, the words the angel Gabriel says when he came to Mary with the news that she was going to give birth to a son named Jesus, he began by saying, "Do not be afraid." And later when Jesus is born, what were the first words the angel said to the shepherds living and watching their sheep in the field? "Do not be afraid." And quite a number of times during his ministry, Jesus says, "Do not fear." Even in our gospel lesson for this morning, when the women leave to tell the disciples what has happened, Jesus himself in the flesh appears before them, greets them, and then says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." And his words are life, soothing to our heart, calming to our spirits, giving power to our days. We can trust. You can trust the one who is in control of your life and this world every day. We may not. We don't know the future. But we can know the God who does know how this is all going to unfold in our lives and in this world. Now the angel echoes the words of God throughout Scripture. Do not be afraid. The angel then says, to really let it sink in, he is not here. He has risen just as he said he would. You have nothing to fear. And so for the first time, the followers of Jesus, these two faithful women going looking to Jesus, heard what they did not expect to hear. They heard that Jesus was not in the tomb, but risen to resurrection life. The angel shows them where Jesus laid. The angel sends them in there to check for themselves and then says, "Go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen." And as they go to the disciples, Jesus meets them. And again, we hear those words, "Do not be afraid." And their fear is then put to an end. It is put to the end by the presence of the living Jesus, just as it was when the disciples were caught up in the storm and Jesus calmed the storm, Jesus walking out to them and saying, "Be still." So praise God, he calms our fears because he is our true source of peace. And his word always brings peace and power when we believe it, when we trust it, when we surrender to it, and when we obey it. Now, again, living with peace does not mean we will not have storms and trials in this life. His peace is not the absence of trials and storms. His peace is his presence. His presence, his peace is trusting in his word in the midst of the storm. And we need to hear this in our current situation. For the enemy, Satan, wants me and you to live in fear. Now, when Jesus or an angel says, "Don't be afraid," and maybe one day God will send an angel just to say those words, or just use his living word when you're reading it, it's an assurance. It's an assurance to you that whatever may happen to us, whatever a day may hold, Jesus has the power to strengthen us, to uphold us, that whatever we face, we do not face it alone. For our God is always greater, greater than even our thoughts. Jesus is Lord, and he is risen, and he is calling you today to follow him with love and with devotion and with faithfulness, with trust and with obedience. And let me tell you, there can be no substitute. We are not to let anyone or anything take his place as Lord, as Savior and Lord. We are called, as the Bible says in Romans, to pattern our lives after him, being renewed daily by his word, not the world. And by the world, I mean social groups, sports teams, even government. Good Friday shows us again and again how much God loves you and me. How will you respond to him? I love how one hymn puts it, "Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." There's no room for anything else. He demands your life, my all. He paid the price. What more can I give him? Give him your life. There is only one person who can always offer us confidence and strength, security and hope, in all the uncertainties and troubles that we have in this world. And that person is the one who has risen from the dead and walks with us on our journey through life. His name is Jesus. It is the risen Christ who says in Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. It is Jesus who said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. John 14:1. And in Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I have authority over death and the world of the dead. Can you say indeed with me? Indeed. Praise the Lord. Jesus has conquered the power of sin and death. And he has put that down. And by his love, we are overwhelmed. Listen to what this means for believers this day. Romans 8:11. May these words give you hope and strength and confidence to live. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Take a moment to meditate on what that verse is teaching us today on Resurrection Sunday. Wow. The same power, as that song goes, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in every believer. Praise the Lord. You have resurrection power living on the inside. On this Resurrection Sunday, our focus is on life, not death. On faith, not fear, as it should be. But the passage goes on, and there are more important lessons for us to learn. The next one is this. Will you let God deal then with your barriers? Will you let God remove them from your life? In verse 2, we learn this passage teaches us another significant life lesson. In Mark's telling of this story, not Matthew's, he mentions a detail not included in Matthew's account, and that is this. On the way to the tomb, the women were asking each other, who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the stone from us from the entrance to the tomb? You see, the stone used to seal Jesus' tomb was massive. To open the tomb would take probably 4 strong Roman guards. And I love that the woman didn't let that stop them, didn't it? Because it mattered to them to be near Jesus that morning. In fact, it appears that in their conviction to go to the tomb, it didn't even really enter their minds until they're already on the way. There is something critically important for us in this. There are many barriers that can keep us from growing closer to God and living the life he has called us to live. There are certain obstacles that may deter you from being faithful in your spiritual walk with Jesus. They can certainly cause havoc in your life and get in the way of your testimony to others who are listening and watching you live every day. Now, I already mentioned one great barrier, and that is fear, but there are so many others. Doubt, sin, pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, these all can be barriers. And what barriers do is they block. And barriers that come into your life by the enemy or by yourself that you put there can block the peace and hope and faith that God has given you already, harming the effectiveness of your testimony for Christ. And again, some of these barriers are real and honest and existing, like a great big stone sealing a tomb. But here is the truth. None of these barriers are greater than God. Hallelujah. He is strong enough to remove every barrier. So as Christians, we need to know and live each day in the power of the Holy Spirit within us. He empowers us daily to walk in victory and live like Jesus for all the world to see. And I hope that is your passion, for all the world to see that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. For with God, all things are possible. And this one stone certainly didn't keep Jesus from rising from the dead. What happened to that stone? Well, God took care of it. What was the solution to the problem the woman realized on the way? Who took down the barrier? God. A supernatural act of God. He sent an angel. So let Jesus remove those barriers in your life today as you surrender them to him, as God helps you identify them and shows you them so that you can give them over to him and trust in him to deliver you. And lastly, in this passage, the angel invites Mary Magdalene and Mary to come and see and then go and tell. The women are not told just to take the angel's word for it, that he's not here, he's risen. He invites them to go in and check for themselves and examine the evidence for themselves and then to believe based on what they have seen. The point here, the important point here is this: our faith must never be secondhand. Each of us on our journey in life, in our responsibility to decide for ourselves what to do with Jesus, receive the same invitation. For me, for many years, I praise God to be raised in a Christian family, but for many years, I just believed what my parents told me to believe. Was that you too, perhaps? And then something happened. You grow up. And then you start to question. And you start to wonder, is this what I believe as well? So that's the important lesson here. You have to look for yourself. You have to read your Bible, ask questions, search for answers, and allow and invite God to work in your life, even if you're not sure what you believe. The Holy Spirit is great at breathing new life into us and helping us to see clearly what is before us, because we all then need to decide for ourselves what we are going to do with Jesus. We cannot live only on the experience and testimony of others. And God's plan is that each of us need to meet Jesus. Each of us needs to be forgiven by Jesus. And each of us needs to be resurrected like Jesus. As you picture Lori coming up out of the waters, resurrected to new life because of Jesus. And then based on what we see, believe and live the life God has called you to live according to his will revealed in Scripture. Now, after inviting the women to look and believe, the angel then gives them these final instructions. Go and tell. Go and tell. And now go quickly, the angel said, and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead and that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has gone ahead of you. He has gone ahead of you. He is there. Will you meet him there? And for you to meet him there, you need to be obedient to the instructions that God has given you. And this is still the case today. We are called to obey God's word, to come and see and go and tell. And as we stand this morning at the empty tomb celebrating the resurrection life of Christ, know that this life is for us. This message is for our entire world, for our friends and family, for our neighborhood. Jesus is Lord and he is risen from the dead. That is why I am the way I am. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. As we pray for the salvation of our family and friends, God will give us opportunities as well to share our testimony and to share what God is doing in our life. God is doing a work in your life even right now that I pray that you will also share with other believers this Easter weekend or perhaps next weekend. Come on up. Let me know. Let Pastor Lionel know if you have something to share about what God is doing in your life. Testify to that. Go and tell about the most important relationship in your life. And we pray that it is Jesus. So as we close, if you are here today and you've never given your heart over to Jesus, we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. As we close, here's a simple prayer. If you have not yet given your life to Jesus and invited him into yours, let us pray as we close. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you, Jesus. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship this morning. All praise and glory be unto you. We thank you, God, for your Spirit, which is at work in this place across this land. Lord, you are drawing men to yourself. Lord, we pray that there will be obedience, that those that are hearing your voice will respond in obedience and come to you, will look to Jesus. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.